It's 6 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after this latest world news headline.
I'm Steve Norman reporting, topping the news, more Boko Haram kidnappings. Officials in Cameroon say Boko Haram militants did kidnap at least 60 people, including children, happened Sunday in a cross-border raid from Nigeria. Officials say several people who tried to stop the militants were killed. About 80 homes were burned to the ground. Kidnappings came a day after Chad sent troops, thousands of them, into Cameroon to help fight Boko Haram. There was also a suicide bombing early on Sunday, happened at a bus station in a northern Nigeria city that left 4 people dead and dozens wounded. These 2 eyewitnesses say they saw burned and dead bodies all over the place. There was no immediate claim of responsibility, but suspicion fell on Boko Haram. Mali has declared itself Ebola-free. Health Minister Ousmane Kone made the pronouncement on Sunday, saying there has been no new case in the last 42 days.
After 42 jours de surveillance, 100 cas confirmés de maladie à virus Ebola.
Kone also thanked everyone responsible for the Ebola fight in his country, including health workers, the country's leadership, and the international community. World Health Organization is reporting 8,400 deaths so far from Ebola, most of them in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. And the military of Libya's internationally recognized government has agreed to a ceasefire 2 days after militias in the country signed on to a UN-mediated truce. UN reported in December that hundreds of civilians have been killed in Libya's conflict. This is VOA News. Much of Europe remained tense and on high alert Sunday as Belgium's justice minister says the alleged mastermind in last week's foiled terror attack on police remains at large, possibly in Greece. Meanwhile, Europe is still reeling from terror attacks in Paris that killed 12 people at the Charlie Hebdo magazine, as well as a policewoman and 4 people in a Jewish supermarket. And here in the U.S., President Obama is preparing to deliver his annual State of the Union address at a time of heightened vigilance, not only here in Washington and beyond, but following the terrorism situation in Europe. VOA's Michael Bowman has details.
The ceremonial pageantry of Tuesday's presidential speech before a joint session of Congress comes against a backdrop of ramped-up security on both sides of the Atlantic. In recent days, a shootout in Belgium, police raids in Germany, arrests in Greece, and stepped-up security across Europe, all following the attack on French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo.
It's not the same as in the days of 9/11.
Security efforts must adapt to an evolving threat, according to Rob Wainwright, who heads the European Union law enforcement agency Europol. For President Obama, who hopes to work with a new Republican-controlled Congress on an agenda that includes domestic priorities, fast-paced international developments are forcing greater attention to security matters at home and abroad. Michael Bowman, VOA News, Washington.
Hope you will join us here on VOA for complete coverage of President Obama's State of the Union speech. That will happen on Wednesday, January the 21st at 1:30 Universal Time. And as always, full coverage at voanews.com. Russian experts say Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko has rejected a peace plan sent to him in a letter from Russian President Vladimir Putin. Russian media say the plan calls on Ukraine's military and separatists to immediately pull back their heavy weapons on the line spelled out in the September ceasefire agreement. But the Russian media reports say Putin's spokesperson says Mr. Poroshenko rejected the plan and resumed shelling. There's been no comment from the Ukrainian president, who Sunday addressed thousands of marchers in Kiev. They were paying tribute to the 13 people killed last week when a shell hit their bus in Donetsk, not far from Donetsk in eastern Ukraine. Americans across the country are pausing today to observe the federal holiday marking the birth of slain civil rights leader Martin Luther King, Jr. King was a central figure of the civil rights movement in the 1950s and 60s.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, the 19th day of January, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Cameroon appeal for more support as Boko Haram militants kidnapped dozens inside Cameroon.
They stormed a daylight in the far north, and they burned down 80 houses. They killed 3 people, and they took hostages as many as 50 people.
Issa Chiroma Bakari is Cameroon's Minister of Communication and Government spokesman. Nigerians march for change following Boko Haram attacks. Senegal's Muslim community vows more protests this week against Charlie Hebdo magazine. And Somalia's new prime minister is forced to dissolve his cabinet.
Prime Minister Omar Abdirashid Ali Sharmake appointed his 60-man cabinet less than a week ago, but he dissolved the full council of ministers on Saturday, just before his choices were due to face a confidence vote in Somalia's federal parliament.
That's reporter Abdulaziz Bello in Mogadishu. A second wave of cabinet shakeup is expected soon in President Mugabe's government. And today is Martin Luther King Jr. holiday in the United States. But what would he have said about today's race relations? Those stories plus Mark Oldman Sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Cameroon's Minister of Communication said his country needs the support of the entire international community to combat the growing threat of Boko Haram. Issa Chiroma Bakari said his government welcomes Chad's decision to send troops to Cameroon to help in the fight against Boko Haram, but he hopes other countries who pledged assistance recently will deliver soon. Chiroma Bakari's comments came as his government announced on Sunday that Boko Haram militants had kidnapped as many as 60 people in a cross-border raid from Nigeria. He said several people who tried to stop the militants were killed and about 80 homes were burned to the ground.
Yes, indeed. They stormed daylight in the far north and they burned down 80 houses. They killed 3 people. And they took hostages as many as 50 people, including teenagers, children, women, and some 2 adults.
So, Mr. Minister, are you saying that the number of people abducted is not 60, but less than 60?
Yes, less than 60.
Recently, your country got help or an offer from Chad to assist you in this fight against Boko Haram. Is it making progress?
Well, the offer was done the day before yesterday. Now they need just to come together, the 2 headquarters, the politicians, the military headquarters. They need to come together to understand each other, to elaborate a common strategy, how to occupy the borders. They need time to deploy their military hardware, military equipment, and to get everything ready. Indeed, we are very much grateful that the Chadian head of state offered this assistance, not only to Cameroon, but to Nigeria too. But we need the assistance, not only of Chad, but the rest of international community to begin with Africa.
Do you mean that you need assistance from the rest of African countries, the African Union?
Yes, the African Union has already pledged to give full assistance, but I want to remember you one thing. During the Paris summit, when President Hollande invited the 5 nations of the front line, at the end of the meeting, when they agreed to put together, to bring together their forces, United States of America, United Kingdom, European Union, France, Germany, China, Canada, these nations have promised to give us their contribution in our fight. In the battle, toughest battle that we have been delivering against Boko Haram. So Africa will play its own role, but I think that the rest of the civilized nation have a promise, and we are looking forward to receiving their assistance.
Mr. Minister, we normally associate Boko Haram with Nigeria. Do you think that Boko Haram is also taking up headquarters in your country?
It is impossible, as far as Cameroon is concerned, as I told you, impossible to penetrate and to remain in Cameroon. There might be ally or accomplices within the country. They may recruit some young people, unemployed Cameroonians, in need of money and who could be brainwashed just to follow them. This is possible, but to penetrate our frontier and to remain in Cameroon, this is impossible.
Issa Chiroma Bakari is Cameroon's Minister of Communication and Government spokesman. He was speaking with me from the capital, Yaoundé. Nigerians marched in the streets of the capital, Abuja, on Saturday, calling for change in the wake of a deadly attack on northeastern towns that has killed hundreds and left thousands more displaced. Viewer's Chris Stein reports.
Calling themselves the Youth Advocates for Change, about 150 people marched through the center of Abuja, saying things could not remain as they are in Nigeria. The Islamist extremist group Boko Haram made headlines earlier this month when it attacked the area around Baga, a fishing village in the northeastern Borno state that has been hard hit by the group's over 5-year campaign to establish a caliphate with strict religious law. Next month, Nigerians will vote in a high-stakes presidential election that will pit incumbent President Goodluck Jonathan against former military ruler Muhammadu Buhari. Zayad Abdullahi, the president of the Youth Advocates for Change, says the group is not sponsored by a political party, but does support a change in government and plans to endorse a candidate at some point. He says the group staged the march because it is upset about the nation's direction.
For change, for Baga, for so many corruption allegations that haven't been attended to, so many crimes, people getting killed daily. The government doesn't even care to make a statement about it. For free and fair elections. For everything, basically. The whole country is upside down.
Earlier this week, Mr. Jonathan visited troops in the Borno state capital of Maiduguri. Maureen Kabrick is a marcher who also works with the Bring Back Our Girls campaign, which is working for the release of the over 200 schoolgirls the group kidnapped from the northeastern town of Chibok last year. The abduction of those girls, who remain missing, sparked similar protests on the streets of the capital. Kabrick says President Jonathan needs to speak out in the wake of the violence in Baga.
It doesn't matter whether it was one life that was taken or two lives or three lives. What matters is that a town was attacked. Is that town in Nigeria? Yes. Were there Nigerians that were killed? Yes. So it doesn't matter the number of people that were killed. And that's all you keep getting from the statements, from the government. Just making flimsy statements and not coming out to own the problem.
Nigerians will vote for president on February 14th. Chris Stein for VOA News, Abuja.
Protests took place in many largely Islamic countries over the weekend to denounce the cartoon depiction of the Prophet Muhammad in the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo. At least 10 people were killed in protests in Niger, while more peaceful demonstrations were held in Mauritania, Mali, and Senegal. As Ricky Schreier reports, religious groups in Senegal say their protests are not over yet.
Religious leaders from the Muslim and Christian communities in Senegal will gather this week to speak out against cartoon depictions of the Prophet Muhammad in the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo, said Bamar Gay, executive director of the Muslim activist group Jamra. If you want peace in the world, everyone must respect everyone else's culture and religion. Respect is reciprocal, he said. Hundreds of people in Senegal protested the magazine last Friday, and another protest is scheduled for January 24th, added Gay. The latest cover of Charlie Hebdo depicts a weeping Prophet Muhammad holding a sign reading Je suis Charlie, or I am Charlie in French, under the headline All is Forgiven. This was the first edition of the French magazine to be issued since gunmen attacked the publication's offices in Paris recently. 12 people were killed in the assault. The killings were said to be in retaliation for Charlie Hebdo's previous depictions of Muhammad. Gay said the groups do not condone the killings, but that freedom of speech should not allow the paper to insult Muslims. During Friday's protests in the capital, Dakar, demonstrators burned a French flag in front of the former colony's embassy. Islamic organizations called on people and the Muslims replied spontaneously, said Gay. I was accompanied by a Christian friend who I work with. In society, they know they touched on something. We don't say Charlie, we say Charlotte, which means clown in French, because they hit on something that is blasphemous. In Niger over the weekend, at least 10 people were killed in 2 days of violent protests against the magazine. Gay added, if it continues like this, and we are very open and tolerant, but they are hurting people even more tolerant than me, people who are thousands of kilometers from Paris or the United States. If something happens there, they feel it. So it's about faith, and we must avoid skidding into this, he said. In Islam, visual representations of all the prophets and messengers of God are prohibited in order to prevent idolatry and the worshipping of the images themselves. French President François Hollande defended free speech over the weekend, saying that anti-Charlie Hebdo protesters in other countries do not understand France's attachment to freedom of speech. Ricky Shryock for VOA News, Dakar.
Today's Monday, the 19th day of January, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington, and please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 16 minutes past the hour. Somalia's prime minister has dissolved his cabinet just hours before it was to face a confidence vote in parliament. Federal lawmakers agreed to wait another 14 days before forming a new government. Abdulaziz Bello has the story for VOA from Mogadishu.
Prime Minister Omar Abdirashid Ali Sharmake appointed his 60-man cabinet less than a week ago, but he dissolved the full council of ministers on Saturday just before his choices were due to face a confidence vote in Somalia's federal parliament. Some opposition to Mr. Sharmake's cabinet was expected, but he did not discuss the background of his decision. He asked parliament to grant him an extra 14 days so he could form a competent and inclusive government, and that was quickly given. A large majority of parliament members currently in the capital approved Mr. Sharmake's request. Parliament Speaker Mohamed Usman Jawari read out the vote tally. A total of 202 MPs voted here today. Two abstained, 10 voted against, and 190 supported the Prime Minister's request. The Premier will form a new cabinet with full considerations to the issues raised by the MPs. Lawmakers have spoken out against several of the choices in Mr. Sharmake's proposed cabinet. Their concerns include the removal of former ministers and the role of senior officials previously accused of incompetency. Despite the order dissolving the cabinet, the House Speaker ruled that all ministers would remain at their jobs in an acting capacity until Parliament approves a future government list. Somalia was a lawless territory for years without any government, but it had been making progress towards stability until last year, when a political crisis developed over disputes between President Hassan Sheikh Mohamud and former Prime Minister Abdiweli Sheikh Ahmed. Parliament ousted Mr. Ahmed last month and installed Mr. Sharmake in his place. Despite the 14-day extension granted on Saturday, political analysts say more opposition is possible if Prime Minister Sharmake's ministerial appointees are seen as too close to President Mahmoud. As the clock ticks, all eyes are on the Prime Minister and the President, who are tasked with convincing the 275-member parliament to accept the new cabinet slate, while also living up to public expectations of their program to stabilize Somalia. Abdulaziz Bilo for VOA News, Mogadishu.
Zimbabwe's ruling ZANU-PF party insiders say a second cabinet shake-up and crackdown on President Robert Mugabe's opponents is expected soon. Acting Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa last week warned party members allegedly defying directives that they will be axed. This follows divisions in the party following the removal of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru and her alleged supporters. Political analyst and expelled ZANU-PF member Margaret Dongo says she is not surprised by the ongoing friction in the ruling party.
I'm not surprised because, in fact, what has happened in Tata's case, while it was a noble idea for him to come up with the statement, but he definitely knew the consequence, and I want to believe he was prepared for it. He was one of those people who put that policy in place. They first expelled Tegere from the party for saying his peace of mind and for saying things that haunted ZANU-PF 10 years after. And the second person to be expelled was Margaret Dongo. And they said she's a sellout. Mtaka is now joining the boat of sellouts because he has also been expelled. But anyway, the lesson to learn for both of them is that when you are in power, life is like a circle. What goes around comes around. So when they are putting policies, they should not look at personalities. They should look at the society as a whole. But in the event that the thing turn around, what will happen to me? What they forget is that they've developed the structure that was was undemocratic, that they cannot even break through. And that was their mistake.
We also understand that there will be a mini cabinet reshuffle when Mr. Mugabe comes back. What is your take on this?
If there is going to be a further reshuffle, oh my God, I welcome it. And I still insist, I welcome it. Because 30 years after independence, we can't have the same people being recycled.
That was veteran Zimbabwe politician Margaret Dongo speaking from Harare with reporter Blessing Zulu of VOA Zimbabwe Service. The third Monday in January is a federal holiday here in the United States, marking the birthday of renowned civil rights activist Martin Luther King Jr. This year, the holiday has special meaning for many after the events of recent months in Ferguson, Missouri, and New York. Joy Wagner narrates this report by Anoush Avitian.
If he were alive today, what would Martin Luther King say about the deaths of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and Eric Garner in New York City, both unarmed and killed in confrontations with police, and about the anger and demonstrations that have followed?
Because I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
King's famous I Have a Dream speech, delivered during the 1963 March on Washington, was an iconic event in the struggle to end racial segregation and establish equal rights for all citizens of the United States. Last month, there was another march on Washington. Tens of thousands of demonstrators in the nation's capital called for justice in the deaths of Michael Brown and Eric Garner. This demonstration was peaceful. And Martin Luther King's niece, Alveda King, whose father, A.D. King, was also a civil rights activist, suggested the violent protests in Ferguson, when a grand jury did not indict the police officer involved in Brown's death, was not the right approach.
Back up.
She called the Ferguson protest slogan, "No justice, no peace," aggressive, and said only peaceful protests can lead to any positive results, recalling the day in 1963 that her own home was bombed.
I remember my dad is standing on a car, painting, and the people wanted to do just what they did in Ferguson. The people were trying to turn over a police car, they wanted to throw rocks, and they were just trying to be very violent. And I remember Dad standing on a car, as a photograph, baby standing on a car with a megaphone with a young man. And he says, "Don't riot. Don't be violent. My family and I are okay. Please, go home and pray."
Some critics of the protests suggest the demonstrations have created animosity towards police and may have led to the killing of two New York City police officers, Rafael Ramos and Wenxing Liu. But one of the positive things to emerge is a peaceful discussion about racial discrimination that's taking place in social media.
So when I see the hashtag Black Lives Matter, I believe black lives from conception and the woman till natural death, the sick, the elderly, the young, the old, the educated, those who need things in communities, all black lives and all human lives matter.
In honor of this holiday, parades are organized in many cities and hymns are sung in churches across the country. Americans, including the president and his family, take part in community projects aimed to bring Americans together. Alveda King says that this was her uncle's dream, to see this nation peaceful and united. Joy Wagner for Anoush Avitian, VOA News, Washington.
Time now for Daybreak Africa. Sponsor here is Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Very good Monday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa sports news, we focus on the Orange Africa Cup of Nations in Equatorial Guinea. Second half goals by Ali Monser and Almeida Ramos saw Tunisia and Cape Verde Islands draw 1-1 in Ababiyin on Sunday. Earlier on in the other group B ties, Given Singuluma scored in the first half, while Yannick Bolaise replied in the second half as Zambia and the Democratic Republic of Congo also drew 1-1. In Bata, a goal scored in each half by the captain Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Malik Evou Guna propelled Gabon to a 2-0 triumph over Burkina Faso on Saturday. Earlier in the tournament opener, hosts Equatorial Guinea and the Republic of Congo drew 1-1 with goals from Emilio Nsu and Thierry Bifuma. In Malabo, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, reckons the tournament is off to a good start. Talking to VOA's Abdul Shakur Abud, CAF Secretary General Hicham El Almrani explains.
Yes, so far very, very satisfied and honestly a bit beyond expectation, because 50 days seemed as an impossible challenge, but we didn't really have a choice. But we were amazed by the support we got from the local organizing committee and the head of state himself, and all the teams worked very hard to ensure that we do have 4 sites operating, pitches installed, hotels made, security guaranteed, and all those key requirements for a large-scale tournament. So, as you have seen yesterday, the start was good, with a full house, a lot of people, a good pitch, good matches, good football, and finally, we talked about football, which was good after all this time. So far, yes, we are okay with the start.
That was Hicham El Amrani, the Confederation of African Football Secretary General, speaking in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. Meanwhile, attention shifts to Mongomo in the southeast corner of Equatorial Guinea today, Monday. Ghana plays Senegal, then Algeria tackles South Africa. Finally, African champions Nigeria concluded their tour of the United Arab Emirates with a 2-0 triumph over Yemen in Dubai on Saturday. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Omer in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. Here's our listener mail for this Monday morning, January 19th.
As today is being marked as Martin Luther the King Day in the history of United States of America, I wish to use your medium to thank the good people of the United States for always being there for the Afro-America as well as the entire black race. Albert Alagbo from Obutu Kato Ranch Bachelor Award in Obaliko Local Government Area of Cross River State, Nigeria. Thank you.
We thank you, listener, for your comment, and please send your viewpoints to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. Officials in Cameroon say Boko Haram militants kidnapped at least 60 people on Sunday in a cross-border raid from Nigeria. The officials say several people who tried to stop the militants were killed and about 80 homes were burned to the ground. Cameroon's Information Minister, Issa Chiroma Bakari, called the kidnappers barbaric and lawless and said nothing can stop them from killing. Police in Niger used tear gas to break up a banned opposition protest in the capital, Niamey. Several hundred demonstrators gathered in the capital on Sunday for the long-planned march that was organized before the riots over the publication of French magazine depicting Islam's prophet. And the military of Libya's internationally recognized government has agreed to a ceasefire 2 days after militias in the country signed on to a UN-mediated truce. The embattled factions that have divided the country are preparing to resume talks in Geneva in the coming days. That's it for this Monday, January 19th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for starting this week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clottier, Ricky Stryak, as well as sports editor Mark Oman, I'm James Barty in Washington, hoping you have a very good week.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.